Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're in Lent now. You might remember a few months ago we were in the season of Advent, and as a church, as congregations that we are, through the season of Advent in the past, I've always kind of reflected, in fact, in several different years, around those characters that are instrumental in the birth of Christ. And so, why not do the same thing for Lent? Only this time, focus around those people who were instrumental in his crucifixion. Those people that were there as he was suffering and dying, those who were very important as we lead up to this event that becomes the most profound event that history has ever known. And so for today, it may surprise you, but we're going to talk about the Apostle, or not the Apostle John, but about John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist, he really didn't have a whole lot to do with the crucifixion. In fact, by the time Jesus was crucified, John was already dead. So why is he instrumental in Jesus' crucifixion? It's because he was the precursor. He was the one who had to come first to point to the Savior. And so John, he comes onto the scene and he's preaching and he's eating locusts and wild honey and he's wearing camel's hair, which sounds very scratchy. He baptized for repentance and for preparation for the coming Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. We all know that. However, nothing really captures John's purpose, his entire ministry, more than the words that we just heard from John chapter 1. John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This was John's entire purpose. It was simply to point to Jesus and say, "You don't need me, you need that guy. He's the one, he's the Savior, he's the Lamb." And what kind of Lamb is he? He is the Lamb of God. Lambs were very important in the Old Testament, especially after Exodus, right? Remember Exodus chapter 12 with the Exodus event where the Israelites, they get to leave Egypt. They get to be set free from their slavery to Pharaoh. But there is one last plague that the Egyptians endure before that happens, and it involves a lamb. You see, the angel of death was going to pass over the country of Egypt. And if someone did not sacrifice a lamb, not just any lamb, a lamb without spot or defect or any such thing, it couldn't be like a crippled lamb that you didn't want anymore. It had to be a perfect lamb. And you would spill that lamb's blood for one very important reason. It's because if that blood was found on your doorposts, the angel of death would not visit you. You would be safe. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the Passover Lamb. He's the perfect Lamb. He lived a perfect life without spot or defect or any such thing. In fact, what he did was he took the whole world's infirmities into himself. We see that as he walks around Israel and he's healing people. He's casting out demons. And he goes to spill his blood. Sacrificially on the altar of the cross, Jesus spills it all. And it's not so it can be placed on someone's doorposts. He spills it for the sake of the world, for your forgiveness and for mine. That way the angel that is eternal death would pass over us, and instead we get to enjoy eternal life free from slavery to sin. You receive Jesus' blood even now as you hear and believe these words. You have Jesus' blood by virtue of your baptism. And in fact, later in our service, we will have Jesus' blood in our mouths for the forgiveness of our sins. I was online the other day. Happened across this list of pictures. And honestly, it was kind of comical. It was a list of a whole set of pictures of tattoos that people regretted. right? So one said, "I believe," instead of "believe." Another had the word "baby" written there, but instead of B-A-B-Y, it was two B's in the middle, right? Another one said "angel," but spelled A-I-N-G-E-L. Just, it's ridiculous. And honestly, my favorite one is this, right? It's a tattoo that says "no regrets," but, and I'm quite certain this is intentional for some people now, but it actually says "no regrets," right? You see, because if you get that tattoo, it's ironic, right? Allegedly, my point is that the tattoo removal business is booming. That's just the truth. John the Baptist doesn't have much to do with tattoos, nor does the Passover lamb. But I wondered, as I was looking at that list, what if all of our sin showed up as a mark on our body? Even if it was just as simple as a little tiny tally. How many marks would you have? What would you look like? I mean, think about your life so far. You've been perfect? Perfect parent? Honestly, perfect child. Our bodies probably would have been filled even before we reached adulthood, right? Perfect friend? Perfect anything? I haven't been perfect at anything in my entire life. How much time and money do we waste on frivolous things? How many idle and hurtful words escape our lips? I would contend that if every sin you committed showed up as just a little small tally mark on your body, that there would be no space left to put any more marks. I use this as a temporal example, obviously, but truth be told, this is exactly what sin does. It doesn't mark us physically, but it does leave a mark on our bodies and souls. It slowly sucks away who God has made us to be as his creatures. So what do we do with that? According to our own power, according to what we can actually do, there are two options. The first is that we can either make excuses for our marks, all right? Or we can try to hide them, right? Make sure those tattoos end up a place where you can't see under the clothes. And so we hide them under the guise that it's what anyone would have done. Or it was only just a little sin. Or no one really got hurt, just someone's feelings. As if physical pain and emotional pain have profoundly different effects. We self-justify to consider ourselves innocent in our own minds, and thereby we are able to neglect confessing our sins. That's what self-justification is. I don't want to have to confess this one, so I'm just going to make an excuse. And so we go on thinking that we are still righteous when sin has perverted us. That doesn't make you whole again. It just means you're carrying around a lot of baggage you're not aware of. The other option that we have is to fall into despair. I mean, this is what I imagine a lot of people with regretful tattoos do, right? They get this thing and they don't want to go through the pain of having it removed, the long process that might take, and so instead they just feel defeated. That's how we feel with our sins sometimes, right? We just feel defeated by it. And in fact, we beat ourselves up over it. We condemn ourselves as guilty. No hope for this one over here. Lost cause. Or I've heard it put this way too, right? We don't make mistakes, but rather we are the mistake. What a sad place to be. And so we seek to escape from ourselves in various ways by distracting our conscience. Because we can't live with the person that we actually are. That doesn't sound like being made whole again either. That's where we return to the words of John. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We don't look to our own cover-up. We don't look to our own excuse-filled mind. We don't look at our own guilt and shame or attempt to escape in some way, shape, or form. John tells us exactly where we need to look. Look at the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If you're in despair over your sin, look at the Lamb of God. If you're making excuses for your sin, look at the Lamb of God, because he makes you whole. He takes away your sin. He gives you a new reality where you are not marked any longer. Not with your sin. No, now you are marked with something different. Now you are marked with God's name. You're marked with His blood. You're forgiven. The cost was that someone else had to bear the marks. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He bears your sin in His body. The marks of the thorns that were being pushed into His head. Marks of shame as He's repeatedly spit upon and struck in the face. Stripped naked and hanging on the cross. Jesus bears the marks as the whip rips open His back. And the nails are hammered into His hands and feet. These are the marks of your sin against Jesus, your Savior. But they're not on your body. They're on His. Because Jesus is the Passover Lamb. He takes away your sin. He saves you from death. He saves you from a sin-filled world. My friends, the marks of your sin are erased in the cross. But the marks that He bears will remain forever. Because that's how much our God loves you. The Lamb of God who takes away your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen.